This is A Litter of Bones, a DCI Jack Logan thriller. Written by J.D. Kirk and produced by B. Heal. Episode 4.
D.I. Ben Ford and the rest of the major investigations team eyed Logan warily as he stormed into the incident room with a face like thunder.
It's out! They know! About the bear, they know!
Shite!
Aye, shite! You can say that again.
Logan paced back and forth, exercising the tension that had been steadily building during the drive over.
Who knows?
Asked DC Niche. He had been pinning photographs of the abduction scene to a board on the wall that was already heavily decorated with other pictures and notes. A school photograph of Connor Reed smiled out at Logan, jarring disturbingly with a blown-up version of the image that had been delivered to the parents earlier that day.
The press! Who do you think? Someone told them. Someone blabbed.
He pointed to the only female detective in the room and clicked his fingers.
DS! Sorry.
Macquarie, sir.
Ken Henderson. He's a journalist. Freelance, but he writes for the Herald, I think. Bring him in. Put him in cuffs if necessary. Hog-tie the bastard if you have to.
Caitlin glanced at D.I. Ford, then back to Logan.
On what pretext, sir?
Logan stopped pacing.
On the pretext that I said so.
Jack, wherever it came from, it didn't come from in here.
For a moment, it looked like Logan might dispute that, but then he sighed and shook his head.
Aye, no, I know,
he admitted, his tone losing some of its edge.
But there's a leak, so let's find out where.
On it, boss. Ken Henderson, did you say?
Aye. He might refer to himself as Kenderson, though, on account of him being a massive arsehole. Get him in and let me know when he's here.
Caitlin confirmed, unhooked her jacket from a hook by the door, then hurried out, already drawing her phone from her pocket as she left. With the immediate drama over, Tyler went back to pinning up the crime scene photos. DC Khaled sat at a desk, rifling through a depressingly small bundle of paperwork and dividing it into different piles.
Hamza, wasn't it?
Aye, sir,
Hamza said, looking up. He had a hopeful look in his face, like he might be about to be reassigned to do something more interesting.
Know anything about computers?
A bit, aye. Why?
Logan fished the spar bag from inside his coat and deposited it on top of the paperwork piles.
See what you can get from that laptop, will you?
Hamza reached for the bag.
Wear gloves. It could be evidence.
Shouldn't it go to forensics?
Eventually, aye. But we'll take a wee look first, eh? See if anything jumps out.
Right, sir.
While DC Khaled went to fetch himself a pair of gloves, Logan rounded on Tyler.
Come back to that later. We need to put out a shout. Ed Walker lives next door to the Reeds, right-hand side looking from the front door. Don't know the number. I think he might be our man. I went round, but there was no one home.
Why? What did you find out?
The father says Connor was acting strangely when they were out walking. Quieter than usual.
Aye, that's in his original statement,
said Hamza, snapping on a pair of thin blue gloves as he returned to his desk.
Connor also asked about Walker. Next door Ed, they call him. He asked if his dad liked him. Then he asked if his dad thought his mum liked him.
Liked Ed?
Aye. Connor asked his dad if his dad thought his mum liked Ed,
Logan explained, trying to clarify, but not making a particularly good job of it.
And does she?
Tyler asked.
That's not really the point, is it, son?
Shooting the younger officer a dismissive look.
Maybe not, no. But I did get the impression that she knew him better than the husband did. Nothing concrete, but I wouldn't be surprised.
An affair, you think?
Logan tilted his head from side to side in a sort of weighing gesture.
Doubt it. Maybe, though. But I reckon she's a woman who likes the finer things. Or would like the chance to like them anyway. Not sure next door Ed would fit that description. The house is a shithole.
Maybe she just likes a bit of the rough, boss,
suggested Tyler. He waggled his eyebrows suggestively and grinned at both superior officers.
Is it my imagination or is he still here?
Unfortunately,
Ben said. He clapped his hands twice.
What are you standing around here for? Go put out the shout.
Sorry, boss,
Tyler said. Then he turned and hurried out of the room. Ben waited until he was gone, looked over to where Hamza was hunched over the laptop, then sidled closer to Logan.
House is a shithole. I thought he wasn't home.
Logan nodded, not looking at him. Instead, his eyes were fixed on the big board, as he'd always referred to it, and the all-too-sparse collection of leads currently pinned to it.
Door wasn't locked.
Jesus, Jack!
He pointed to the computer Hamza was working at.
And did you get that?
Logan nodded.
Christ, that's a big bloody risk. And not just for you, for all of us.
Aye,
Logan admitted. He finally turned in the DI's direction, and there was something dark and hollow behind his eyes.
But you didn't see them, Ben. Last time, I mean. Those kids, you didn't see them.
Ben said nothing. What was there to say?
I know it's not him doing this. It can't be. But someone has done a bang-up job of copying him this far. And if they stick to the script and see this thing through, then we have less than 2 days to find that boy.
He cleared his throat, inhaled through his nose, pulled together his fraying edges.
So I'll be the one to take the risks. And it won't reflect on anyone else. Buck stops with me. You're all just following orders.
You know that's not how it works, Jack. They won't buy that.
Ben sighed and rubbed a finger and thumb against his forehead, kneading away the beginnings of a migraine.
What are you saying?
Ben dragged his top teeth over his bottom lip, scraping at the smoothly shaved skin. He stopped rubbing his head and nodded. A decision reached.
I'm saying that the buck stops with both of us,
Ben said, keeping his voice low.
We're both responsible. The rest of them aren't.
Ben.
That's the deal on offer, Jack.
Logan briefly considered protesting, but he knew the DI well enough not to waste his breath. Instead, they shook hands and patted shoulders.
I'll take it then, and thank you.
He's a wee boy, Jack. Fuck the risks. Let's just get him home.
No arguments from me,
Logan said, shrugging off his coat.
Oh, but before you get too comfy, the Chief Inspector wants to see you.
The Chief Inspector? Of what? This place?
Ben gave a nod. Something mischievous sparkled behind his eyes.
Shite. Who is it?
Logan asked, recognising that expression. He quickly flicked through his mental Rolodex but came up blank. D.I. Ford's mouth curved up into the beginnings of a smirk.
Jinkies.
A groan burst unbidden from Logan's lips. He finished taking off his coat and let it flop down onto his desk.
Of course,
he said with a grimace.
I should have bloody guessed.
Chief Inspector Hugh Pickering was sitting behind a large, well-organised desk when Logan entered the office. He was writing studiously in a large notebook, the shiny top of his head pointed to the door, a fountain pen scratching across the paper. Without looking up, he gestured to the chair across from him. Logan closed the door, stood behind the chair, and waited. The pen continued to scratch across the page.
You're making the place look untidy, Jack.
Logan recognised the power play, but had no interest in competing. He pulled out the chair, sat in it, then leaned forward with his hands clasped, so his forearms were resting on the edge of the desk.
You wanted to see me?
Pickering raised a hand, still not looking up. Once Logan fell silent, the Chief Inspector lowered his hand and returned to writing.
I won't keep you.
Logan resisted the urge to point out that he was already keeping him, aware that it would only drag things out further. He sat back and waited. Pickering had earned the nickname Jinkies on his very first day of training at Tully Allen. It had been coined due to the then constable's striking resemblance to Velma, one of the characters from the cartoon series Scooby-Doo. At first glance, there had been a passing resemblance, mostly down to Pickering's reddish-brown hair and thick-rimmed glasses. Weirdly, though, the longer you looked at him, the more he resembled the canine-accompanied ghost hunter. He had a round face. Baw chops had been another popular designation for a while, and a scattering of freckles across each cheek. Someone had got him drunk one night and talked him into putting on an orange roll-neck jumper, thus cementing his status as, "What? That guy looks like Velma out of Scooby-Doo," for the rest of his career. And if Logan had anything to do with it, far beyond. Poor Velma had let herself go in recent years, though. Jinky's distinctive hair had been vacating the premises for a while now, and only a few stragglers were hanging around the edges like the last revelers at a school disco. His already round face was now substantially rounder, and was carrying some extra baggage under its chin. He still wore the glasses, though, and if Logan didn't know him better, he'd have sworn they were the same pair. Jinkies had never been cut out for frontline policing. Not really. In some ways, it wasn't his fault. It couldn't have been easy to walk through Socky Hall Street after closing on a Saturday with some mouthy wee bam shouting, "Fuck me, is that no horror of Scooby-Doo?" at you at the top of his lungs. He'd taken a desk job as quickly as humanly possible, and hadn't stepped out from behind one since. At least not to do anything useful. From the looks of him, he'd been golfing today. He wore a V-neck Pringle jumper with no sleeves and an eyeball-melting diamond pattern knitted into the front. Beneath it, he wore a short-sleeved polo neck with the top button done up, presumably in some token nod to formality. Logan couldn't see Jinky's legs, but he was picturing some truly horrifying check trousers. Or worse, shorts. He pushed the image away and was giving serious consideration to grabbing the chief inspector's pen and ramming it up his arse when the scratching stopped. Logan watched impatiently as Jinky scanned over what he'd written, lips moving silently. Then, with a nod, the chief inspector slid the page aside, interlocked his fingers on the desk in front of him, and finally raised his head.
"Jack, good to see
you." "Hugh,"
replied Logan, non-committal.
"Ben said you wanted to see me."
Jinkies frowned, as if this was news to him. Then his eyes widened behind his glasses, and he bumped his hands against the desktop.
"Ah, yes, I did. That's right."
Logan waited, but not for long.
"Well, what for? Not sure if you've noticed, Hugh, but we've got a live abduction going on."
Jinkies smiled magnanimously.
"That was why I wanted to see you, Jack. I just wanted to let you know that whatever you need, it's yours. Mi casa su casa. My house is your house."
"I know what it means."
He checked himself and managed something that was within spitting distance of being a smile.
"Thanks, Hugh. I appreciate that."
Jinkies leaned forward a fraction.
"But so we're clear. It is mi casa, Jack."
He tapped a pudgy finger against the desk.
"My house, my rules. You have your team, I have mine. We will offer you any and all assistance we can. But the answer to me, is that clear? To me, not you. I'm not interested in a who's got the biggest willy contest."
That was understandable. Logan had seen Jinkies in the shower. It was a contest the chief inspector couldn't hope to win.
"Got it. Mi casa, mi..."
The chief inspector realised too late that he had exhausted his Spanish.
"Rulios. Capiche?"
I'm not here to get in anyone's way, Hugh.
The words were designed to be reassuring, but the tone of his voice didn't back them up.
But this is a major investigation, and I'm heading the major investigations team in about...
He checked his watch.
6 hours. The whole world is going to be watching this case, scrutinising every bloody thing we do. And that's going to be on me, Hugh, not you. So I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get that boy home. So if I tell your lads to jump, I want to hear how high and not, I'll have to run it by the boss. Well, that boy is missing. I'm the boss, all right?
He tapped a finger against the desk, just as Jinkies had done.
Me, Casa.
Across the table, the chief inspector leaned back, his face searching for an expression, but not quite finding one.
We both know that's not how it works, Jack. There's an order...
Today, that's how it works. And tomorrow.
2 days.
After that, we'll see where we are.
Logan looked the chief inspector up and down, scarcely bothering to hide his distaste.
But don't you worry about it. You enjoy your golf.
He made it to the door without Jinkies saying a word, but stopped when he got there and turned.
What's the story with PC Bell?
Which one's she?
Sinead, young lassie. Parents died in an RTA.
Oh, her. Yes, she's promising,
Jinkies said. He puffed out his ample cheeks.
Nasty business with the accident, though. It was down the loch site. They were headed back up the road from Glasgow or somewhere, if I recall. Sinead was first on the scene.
Jesus.
Don't think it was pretty, by all accounts.
I can't imagine it would be, no. I want her assigned to my team for this.
Jinkies looked the DCI up and down, then raised a salacious eyebrow.
Bit young for you, isn't she, Jack?
Don't judge us all by your own standards, Jinkies.
He enjoyed the little flinch the chief inspector gave upon hearing his old nickname.
She's a well-known face. Local knowledge. Seems bright. She'll be an asset.
Plain clothes.
Logan shook his head.
We'll keep her in uniform. For now, anyway. Could be handy.
Jinkies clicked his tongue against the back of his teeth, then nodded.
Fine. You can have her on your team.
Logan smiled grimly.
Thanks,
he said, pulling open the door.
But I wasn't really asking.
If the sight of Jinky's face had wound him up, the next one Logan saw almost tipped him over the edge.
All right, Jack. You going to give me an exclusive?
Henderson,
said Logan, practically spitting the word out. The journalist was being led along the corridor by D.S. Macquarie. She hadn't cuffed him or, to Logan's immense disappointment, set about him with a baton. Logan intercepted them outside a closed door. He caught Henderson by the arm, shot Caitlin a look, and jerked his head in the direction of the door.
This an interview room?
No. Cleaning cupboard, I think.
Shoving the door open, Logan bundled Henderson inside. The smug wee bastard went clattering into a shelf of polishes and sprays as a single light automatically blinked on above them.
Watch it, Jack.
Henderson smarmed, his weasel smile showing off the gap in his two front teeth.
Don't want to get yourself in trouble again.
Boss, I'm not sure we should be...
It's fine, we go way back,
Logan told her, just as the door squeaked closed between them. Henderson straightened and brushed himself down.
No need to be so rough, Jack. You know I'm always happy to help a fine establishment such as yours.
Who told you?
Who told me what?
You know what. Stop wasting my time.
People tell me lots of things, Jack. You'll have to remind me what...
Logan's hand caught him by the front of the jacket. Henderson's smile only broadened as he was pinned against the shelves.
Police brutality is still a hot topic, Jack. I could get a centre spread out of this.
Centre spread? Is that still a thing? I thought you'd all been replaced by blogs and Twitter.
Not quite yet.
Are you no tired of trailing the country looking for dirt to dig up? Aren't you a bit old for all this shite?
Henderson held the detective's gaze, his smile fixed in place.
aren't you?
For a second, maybe two, Logan and Henderson just stared at each other, combatants sizing each other up before a duel. Then with a grunt, Logan released his grip.
Aye, maybe. The teddy. Who told you about the teddy?
Henderson smoothed himself down for the second time in as many minutes.
A good reporter never reveals his sources, Jack. You know that.
Logan's jaw tensed. He eyeballed Henderson, but turned his head a fraction towards the door.
D.S. Macquarie?
Yes, boss?
Caitlin's voice was muffled through the door.
Go get yourself a cup of tea, will you?
There was a pregnant pause, a moment of hesitation.
Shouldn't I maybe hang on in case?
Caitlin, go get yourself a cup of tea.
Another pause, shorter than the last one.
Yes, boss.
Logan listened until he heard the DS's footsteps fading along the corridor. Then he unbuttoned the cuff of one shirt sleeve and began to roll it up.
Come on now, Jack. There's no need to go acting the big man.
Henderson told him. Logan said nothing. He finished rolling up the first sleeve, then set to work on the second.
I'm sure we can figure something out.
His eyes darting briefly down to follow the sleeve's progress.
I'm sure I could be persuaded to help you if you were to, say, offer me something I could use. You tell me something, I'll tell you something.
Logan finished rolling up the second sleeve, then opened and closed his fingers a few times, flexing the tendons. He cracked his knuckles. He cricked his neck.
Nothing major. Just a nugget or two. A crumb, that's all. A fair swap.
We're talking about a boy's life.
And a man's career. Namely mine. Maybe that's not as important to you, but it's all relative, isn't it?
He eyed the DCI's hulking great hands, then smiled.
You said yourself, those arseholes online are cannibalising us. Come on, Jack, scratch my back. What have you got?
Logan balled his fingers into fists, and the smug look slid from Henderson's face, swept aside by various flavours of panic. Logan allowed himself a moment to savour it, before throwing the journal a bone.
Ed Walker.
Henderson's eyelids fluttered, as if Logan had thrown a punch at him, but stopped short of landing it.
What?
Ed Walker, the neighbour. We're interested in speaking to him.
You think he did it?
We're interested in speaking to him, that's all. We're going to announce it in the morning if we haven't found him, so I'm giving you the jump on it. Ed Walker, write it down.
Henderson tapped the chest pocket of his jacket and smiled.
Don't worry, I'm recording every word.
Aye, no you're not.
He produced a phone from one of his pockets and passed it back to the journalist.
You need to be more careful with that thing, Ken. They're no cheap.
Henderson gave his jacket a more thorough pat-down.
How the fuck?
He muttered. Then he snatched the phone back.
Now, I've scratched your back. Who told you about the teddy?
Henderson sniffed and shrugged.
One of the local press boys. Works for one of the weeklies. Tom something. The guy threw the question away outside the reeds. Him.
And where did he hear about it?
Well, I don't know, do I?
His eyes blazed as he scrutinised Logan's face.
True then, is it?
Aye, aye, it's true. Looks like we've got a copycat.
And you think it's this Walker fella?
He's a person of interest. That's all at this stage.
How much interest? Scale of 1 to 10.
Logan pulled the door open.
Get out, Henderson. We're done. And leave the parents alone, eh? They've already suffered enough.
Suffering sells papers, Jack. Not nice, but it's how it is.
Henderson told him. He followed the DCI out of the cupboard and into the corridor.
Thanks for the information. Very interesting. I'll see myself out.
Aye, nice try.
He beckoned over to where D.S. Macquarie was hovering by the canteen door.
Escort Mr. Henderson off the premises, would you? and keep an eye on him to make sure he doesn't try to sneak back in.
Henderson grinned, showing off his crooked teeth again.
You know me too well, Jack.
Well, we've all got our crosses to bear.
Along the corridor, Caitlin scanned her pass and opened the door that led out to the reception area. Henderson shuffled towards it, head down, already tapping out a number on his phone.
Oh, Jack,
he said, stopping a pace or two before he reached the door.
What now?
The boy. I hope you find him.
A flash of surprise registered on Logan's face.
Aye. You and me both.
D.I. Ford was talking to a couple of shirt and ties when Logan returned to the incident room. One of them, who had been perched on the edge of the DCI's desk, jumped up as if an electrical charge had just shot up his arse.
DCI Jack Logan, this is D.S. Boyle and D.C. Innes,
Ben said, hand-signalling his way through the introductions.
They're CID. Offer to clue our lot up with the local gen.
Good. That's good. Thanks,
said Logan, shaking both offered hands in turn.
Don't suppose you know anywhere to get something decent to eat nearby?
D.S. Boyle sucked air in through his teeth.
Sunday.
There's JJ's along the road. They do a good breakfast.
Logan's eyes went to his watch.
Aye, an all-day breakfast, I mean. Sausage, egg, nice bit of black pudding. Mushrooms, if you like that sort of thing.
From the way he said it and the expression on his face, it was evident that DC Innes very much did not like that sort of thing one little bit.
JJ's is shut.
All eyes went to D.S. Boyle.
Shut? JJ's?
Aye.
What, like shut? Or just shut?
Well, no shut, but no just shut. Shut.
Oh, so shut. Right.
Innes nodded, then turned to Logan.
JJ's is shut.
Aye, I picked up on that. Anywhere else?
Both CID detectives gave this some thought.
Pizza place in the village.
Aye. What time is it?
Asked Boyle. He checked his watch.
Aye, that'll be open.
Pizza place? Logan remembered the photo on his phone.
Want me to ring you something in?
Actually, no. Leave it. I might go round in a bit. What time is it shut?
Same time Sean Connery gets to Wimbledon, sir.
Logan and the others all looked at the DC blankly. Their expression remained unchanged when he continued in an utterly dire Sean Connery impression.
Tenish.
From the look on their faces, it was obvious that nobody was impressed. Innes wilted, his cheeks burning. Logan decided to gloss right over it and pretend it had never happened. He turned his attention to D.S. Boyle instead.
Ed Walker, next door to the Reeds. Anyone talk to him?
Not sure, I'll check. Probably if he was in. I'll find out.
Thanks. And Tom something. He's been blabbing about the teddy bear. I want to know how he knew about it. He's a reporter in one of the local papers.
There's just the one.
Reporter?
Paper. Don't know him, though. We'll see what we can find out.
Boyle put a hand on DC Innes' shoulder and guided him towards the door.
If there's anything else, just shout. We all want to see the wee lad home safe.
Thanks.
And try the pizza place. It's good. Well, not good, but good.
Will do.
He watched the DS manhandle the junior officer out into the corridor and caught a hissed,
fucking tennish.
Before the door clunked closed behind them.
They're a good bunch. You'd think they've probably got it a bit easy up here, but they know the stuff. Made some big drugs, callers. Like Major.
Good to know.
He looked across to Hamza's desk, where the DC was still hunched over the laptop, his blue-gloved fingers tapping away at the keys.
Getting anywhere?
Well, I'm in, so aye, getting somewhere. Nowhere exciting, mind. There's not a lot on it.
Shite. Still, good job in getting in. That was quick.
His password was 12345. Wasn't exactly rocket science, sir.
Keep looking. See if anything turns up.
The door to the incident room flew open, and Tyler came rushing in clutching a bundle of printouts.
What have you got?
Ed Walker, sir. He's got previous.
Tyler announced, waving the bundle.
Just out of a big stretch at the big house.
Barlinnie? What for?
Possession of Class A and assault on a police officer.
He thrust the folder of paperwork into the DCI's waiting hands.
Shocking beard and all. Although I suppose that's no technically a crime.
Logan flipped open the folder, then whistled quietly through his teeth when he saw the mugshot within. Walker glared sheer contempt back up at him.
Jesus, that is a shocker, isn't it?
He skimmed through the first couple of pages, then handed the folder to Ben.
We should put it up on the board.
D.I. Ford opened the folder.
God, you're right. That is a shite beard.
Any word on his whereabouts?
Tyler shook his head.
Not yet, boss.
Keep an eye on the house and start knocking doors. Find out if anyone's seen him coming and going since Friday.
It's getting late.
Tyler pointed out, glancing at the clock.
Good, then we might actually catch some of them at home. Check if there's any family or known associates in the area. And get this photo and description out in circulation. We need to find him and find him fast. CID said they'll help. Hold them to that.
Yes, boss.
Logan glowered at him.
Oh, you want me to... now? Right.
Tyler scuttled off. Logan pulled the swivel chair out from beneath the desk he'd claimed as his own and flopped into it. He sagged for a moment, tiredness slackening his muscles and dragging him down into the cracked leather of the seat. A headache had been making itself at home in his skull for the last couple of hours and felt like it was settling in for the long haul. Hunger wasn't yet gnawing at him exactly, but it was certainly making its presence felt. It had been hours since Tyler had brought him that biscuit. Even then, it had only been a rich tea. A man could not get by on mere rich teas alone. Well, he probably could, but it'd be a fucking miserable existence.
You all right?
Ben asked him. Logan sat up and nodded.
Aye, aye. Just a long day.
Looks like your hunch might be right. Ed Walker, I mean.
Ben rolled another chair over and took a seat.
What's... You don't think it's him?
I think we need to talk to him,
Logan said. He waved a hand.
It probably is. I mean, it's looking like it.
But?
But how would he know about the envelope? The writing on the front? That's the bit I don't get.
Ben flipped idly through the paperwork.
He'd have to have come into contact with someone he knew. Someone from the original case?
Aye. Who, though?
Petrie?
Petrie's a cabbage. Or so he wants us to believe. He's got a cushy wee number in Carstairs, compared to where he should be, I mean. He wouldn't risk giving the game away by blabbing to some scroat he didn't know.
Unless he did know him.
Logan's eyes narrowed, but he looked unconvinced.
What is Walker? 50s?
Ben flicked back a few pages.
43.
He studied the photo again.
Bloody hell, the years have not been kind.
We could look for a link between him and Petrie, but I doubt we'll find one. Still, worth a try. Get D.S. Macquarie on it. And check for any connection with the original families too. But discreetly.
Logan's headache stabbed at him. The families. Shite. The arrival of the Teddy was going to catapult the story to the front page of every newspaper in the country. It had been 20 years since Mr. Whisper had taken Dylan Muir. His parents, not to mention the parents of Lewis Briggs and Matthew Dennison, were about to have it raked up all over again. He'd have to phone the Gozer. Ask him to send officers round to help prepare them for the media shitestorm. Probably too late tonight, but first thing in the morning. The last thing they needed was the police hammering on their doors in the wee small hours. Not again.
We need to get forensics into Walker's house.
Going to take time to get a warrant.
Not necessarily. I'm pretty sure he's been squatting there. Find out who owns it, then we can go in.
Ben nodded and reached for the phone.
Hamza, get anything yet?
A lot of porn, sir. Aye, I mean a lot of porn.
He tilted his head a little, frowned like an art critic trying to work out the meaning of a masterpiece, then his eyes widened and he quickly clicked the trackpad.
Ugh, didn't he need to see that?
Anything dodgy?
Pretty standard stuff, sir. It's more the quantity rather than the content that's worth noting.
Anything else?
Actually, aye, this is interesting. He did a couple of searches on DNA markers and how DNA evidence gets processed on...
Hamza tapped at the trackpad.
Wednesday? Well, no, early hours of Thursday.
Logan and Ben exchanged glances.
Still have your doubts?
Logan stood up.
We need to find this bastard, Ben.
He flicked his eyes from the DI to Hamza.
We all know what we're doing.
Ben nodded and punched a series of numbers on the phone. DC Khaled looked up from the laptop.
Just got a few more folders to go through, sir. Then if it's all right with you, there's a couple of things I want to check out on the map.
We need all hands on deck.
It wouldn't take long, sir. Just a hunch, but it might be something.
Fine, do it. Then get yourself a coffee. I can't see any of us getting any sleep tonight.
Darkness. It surrounded him, smothered him, claimed him for its own. He'd always hated the darkness, hated the feelings it conjured up inside him, feelings that burned bright and clear, but which he didn't yet have the vocabulary to put a name to. Fear, yes, but it was something more than that, something deeper. More pure. The ties were cutting into his wrists. The gag tasted bad in his mouth. Oily, sour, foul. A shiny film of snot coated the outside of it, glistening like the trail of a slug. He snorted in some air, gulped it down, tried to breathe. The gag made it difficult. Impossible sometimes, and his chest held more panic than breath. You wanted to sob, to scream, to make himself heard, to make the whole world know where he was. But that would bring the man back. He didn't like it when the man came back. Hated it, in fact. Hated the way he looked at him. Hated the way he smiled. Hated the way his voice came as a breathless whisper in the half-dark. He couldn't scream anyway, even if he tried. There was another gag, somewhere deep down in his throat. A slab of solid fear, preventing everything but the occasional whimper from escaping. During his more rational moments, those times when he calmed down enough to think straight. He thought he was in a cupboard. The walls felt close and oppressive, his cheeps and whimpers rebounding inside the narrow space. It stank of stale and damp. Fusty, his mum would have said. He thought of his mum and sobbed silently in the darkness. The stench of his own urine had permeated everything in the confined space, but the warmth of it had long since become a cloying coldness around his thighs. His cheeks burned with shame when he thought about it. The man had seemed annoyed when it had happened. The boy with him had laughed and laughed and laughed until the man had closed the door. He didn't like the man, but he liked the boy even less. D.S. Macquarie stepped back from the big board and admired her handiwork. Walker's mugshot had been stuck up, shocking beard and all, and she'd added a few key details about what they knew so far. She'd connected some of it together with lengths of red wool. There weren't many strands, but those there were all led back to Walker. DCI Logan had handed her another folder full of paperwork to add to the board, but had then decided against it and taken it back. It sat on his desk now, open slightly, teasing her with its contents. It had been over an hour since the shout had gone out about Walker. The forensic team were on their way down the road from Inverness, and extra uniforms had been drafted in from the surrounding areas to help with the search. Fort William was in the process of being turned upside down, but so far there was no sign of the bastard.
Done, boss. Anything I've missed?
Ben Ford twisted in his chair and looked back at the board over his shoulder.
Nothing jumping out. Good work. Jack?
Logan looked up from a typed-up copy of the notes Sinead had made back at the Reeds. She dropped them in at the station on the way home, surmising that Logan probably hadn't heard her write everything down for a laugh. She was going to go far, that one. He scanned the board.
Shoes.
Caitlin frowned.
Sir?
Shoes. Trainers. He had size 10s in the cupboard under the stairs. And he's knocked a hole through the loft wall into the Reed's loft next door.
When did he do that? Wouldn't they have heard?
They did. The husband, what's his name? Duncan. He thought Walker was doing a loft conversion. Is the liaison still round there? Ask her to find out when they heard it. And has anyone told them about Walker yet?
Not that I know of. We were waiting until you gave the word.
Good. I want to tell them myself,
Logan said. He pulled on his coat.
But first, is anyone else hungry?
I could eat, sir. Aye.
Hamza.
Across at his desk, Deus Khaled looked up from the laptop. What he'd thought were just a few more folders to check had led to dozens more, and he was still clicking through, hunting for anything that might help them figure out Walker's motive, whereabouts, current state of mind, or anything else that might prove useful.
Sir?
Hungry?
Aye. Pretty famished, actually. Want me to get something?
I'll get it, it's fine. Ben, pizza?
I've got a packed lunch in the fridge.
Logan hesitated, his coat halfway on.
Packed lunch?
Ben patted his ample stomach.
Wife's orders.
Wife's no here.
Ben looked torn, but it only lasted for a moment.
Go on then, something meaty, and maybe some of them cheese bite things.
Satisfied, Logan pulled his coat on the rest of the way.
Right.
And double chips.
Jesus, I'm no the Sultan of Brunei.
Ben reached for his wallet.
Shut up, I'm kidding.
He crossed to the big board, took out his phone, and snapped a close-up of Walker's mugshot.
Anyone else got any particular preference? Or will I just get a mix of meat and veggie?
Not fussy.
Hamza, do you need, like, halal or...
DC Khaled's face split into a grin.
Nah, you're all right, sir.
Logan nodded a little awkwardly.
Right, grand. Won't be long. Phone me if anything comes up.
He marched out of the instant room. A moment later, the door opened again and his head popped around the doorframe.
By the way, anyone have any idea where the shop is? Oh, and double chips. In fact, double chips twice.
The lad behind the counter glanced up from the till.
Quadruple chips?
Aye, if you like.
He fished his wallet from his coat pocket.
How much is all that?
The till bleeped a few times. Logan shifted impatiently from foot to foot, watching the lad pick a path through the buttons.
That's...
38.40. Wait, no. Forgot the chips.
Logan stood, wallet poised.
44.45.
Logan muttered something about double chips, then produced his debit card.
Sorry, we don't take cards.
What?
We don't take cards.
Logan looked down at his card, then up at the kid behind the counter. His face was contorted in confusion, like none of this made any sense.
You don't take cards?
No.
How can you not take cards? What are we in? The roaring 20s?
The lad shrugged.
You seriously don't take cards? In this day and age?
There's a cash machine up the street. But you'll have to be quick, we shut in 45 minutes.
I thought you shut at 10.
We do.
Logan glanced at his watch.
Jesus, right, fine. How far up the street?
About a mile and a half.
Fuck off.
The words tumbling out of him before he could stop them.
A mile and a half! It's pissing it down!
The kid glanced at the big windows like he hadn't previously noted the onslaught of water hammering against the outside.
You could order online. We take cards online.
Logan's mind, which had already been struggling to deal with the fact that this place didn't accept card payments, practically exploded.
I can pay by card online, but not in person.
Cash only in person,
the employee confirmed. From the expression on his face, it was clear that he'd had this same conversation on several occasions before, and very probably had to go through it on a daily basis.
Jesus.
Logan slotted the card back into his wallet.
Fine. Where's this cash line then?
The lad rattled off a concise but detailed explanation without very much thought, reaffirming Logan's suspicions that he was an old hand at this particular conversation. Logan made a mental note of the directions, then opened the door. A gust of wind and a blast of icy rain swirled in, scattering a bundle of menus piled up on the counter.
Stick it all on now, I won't be long.
We don't usually start making the food until people come back, because a lot of the time they don't bother.
I'll be back,
Logan told him. A touch more Terminator-like than he'd intended. The kid wavered, unsure. Logan let the door close, crossed to the counter, and flashed his warrant card.
I'll come back, all right. Pinky swear.
Right, okay, good.
The lad said, snapping to a sort of panicky attention.
I'll get it all put on for you now.
Thank you,
said Logan, trying not to sound sarcastic, but failing. As he turned, his eyes fell on the logo on the pizza box. He took out his phone and opened the photo app.
Quick question. Does this guy look familiar?
He showed the kid the snap he'd taken of Walker's mugshot and watched as the boy looked at it, his eyes lifeless and disinterested.
No, don't know him.
He's not a customer.
Not that I've seen. Why?
Logan returned the phone to his pocket.
Nothing. Doesn't matter. I'll go get that cash.
He was halfway to the door again when the phone rang. He paused, listening to the kid rattle off a robotic salutation and take an order. Once the lad had hung up, Logan approached the counter.
Do people phone in orders a lot?
Huh? What?
The kid's eyes went to the phone, like the answer might be written there.
Yes?
He said, more like a question than an answer.
For delivery?
Yeah. Why?
What about Cowie Avenue?
What about it?
Number 16. Ever get any orders phoned in for there?
The kid looked blank.
Ham and pineapple.
You mean a Hawaiian?
Logan's eye twitched.
I don't want to debate the semantics. Does he ever phone an order in?
What?
Logan rapped his knuckles on the stainless steel counter.
Wake up. The guy at 16 Cowie Avenue. Ham and pineapple. Does he ever phone in?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, a few times. Why, is that the guy in the picture?
When was the last time he ordered anything?
I don't know. I don't work every night.
Logan's nostrils flared.
Well, when's the last time you remember?
He watched the kid thinking. Could practically see the steam coming out of his ears as he ploughed through his memories.
Thursday, maybe? I think it was Thursday.
Logan sighed, unable to hide his disappointment.
Thursday, right.
He turned to the door.
Get the food on, I won't be long.
Okay. Actually, wait.
Logan stopped. Turned.
I think he might have phoned in last night too, but he didn't get it delivered to the usual place.
Something lit up inside Logan's head. Something fluttered in his chest.
Do you remember where?
It'll be written down,
said the kid, jabbing a thumb over his shoulder in the direction of nowhere in particular. Logan's hand slipped into his pocket, reaching for his phone again.
Good, then hold the food, son, and give me that address.
This is A Litter of Bones, a DCI Jack Logan thriller. Written by J.D. Kirk
and produced by Be Here.